us. Thank you so much for just taking the courage to walk in the church for the first time. I remember what that's like. I thought the lightning bolts were going to hit and I was dead, and who knew? I'm very much alive. I hope you, God causes you to come alive more each day. The first Sunday of March 2001 was our first Sunday as pastors of Living Waters Church 20 years ago. And Eric's like, that was 20 years ago. 20 years ago. And I couldn't do it if it wasn't for the person that's been at my right hand. My wife is my best friend. She is very much my better half. I'm looking around this room, and unless you're a brand new visitor and we haven't met, I don't think there's anybody in this room I haven't heard her praying for. She loves you and prays for you. And so this Sunday, this 20th year for us to be here, I've asked my wife to come and bring the word today, and I know she's got a good one. Would you show her some love?
Good morning. It's so good to see your faces. And it's an honor to be here. So thank you to my husband that enabled me and just gave me this honor to be here. But I do want to say this morning that Gary Govenda brought to my attention that this morning is National Cereal Day. So who likes cereal? I mean, who really likes cereal? Who really, really, no, wait a minute, I'm looking. Okay, well, of course, I had to give away a box of cereal. And of course, it's life, because Jesus is the author of all life. And so I'm trying to think, who should I give this to? Dave Fronczak, I'm going to give this to you, so come on down. Woo! Well, there you go, Buster. Okay, so now that we've taken care of that, my message today, I was reminded of a phrase from 1990, and I think most of the people here weren't born in the 90s, I don't think so, but anyway, that you were born before that, but in the 90s, there was a phrase that said, talk to the hand. Okay, everybody just extend your hand. And basically what this meant was, I'm not listening to what you're saying. And that is not the position that we want to take this morning. The position this morning is we want hands like this. So I want everybody to extend your hands, because God is already speaking. This word, even the worship, thank you, Henry. Where's Henry? Oh, there's Henry. I just so appreciated you and Lori and leading and guiding and Eric, because it's all about freedom. This is a word about freedom this morning that I'm going to give. So we're just going to pray. God, we thank you that we declare that we will receive today. God, we're going to receive that engrafted word that can bring change, transformation, but it's going to bring freedom and set some people free today in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, and we all said amen. Amen. Okay, so because we're talking about hands, if you all have notes today, I provided you with something, and we're going to be talking about the power of his hand. That's the name of the message, and it says in Psalm 118, verse 16, it says, the right hand of the Lord is exalted, and the right hand of the Lord performs valiantly, which means courageously, effectively. God's hand is like no other hand. Do you agree? Agree with that? Yeah. Amen. And Ann Rumfola, I'm going to have Ann come up this morning. I don't know what she's shaking her head about. She knew she was going to do this. Actually, Jack, could you grab her mic? I heard her share a couple weeks ago at our prayer group. She shared this story, and I just felt like this went right along with really what I had to share.
Yes, please. Is it ready?
It's ready.
I'm just blessed whenever the Lord speaks to us. And along with that word, Psalm 119, verse 173 says, "Let your hand be ready to help me." And I need help right now. A long while ago, back 31 years ago, which would have been 1990. Now, some of you can't remember that far. Some of you can't remember that far. You're too young. But the Lord gave me a vision during the night, and I think it was probably only the second time I ever saw something, a vision. And it was... I saw a like a body, but like a figure from the Bible with the robe, a white robe, a gleaming white robe. So I'm looking down and I'm looking to see if there's a foot I could see that maybe would have a nail hole in it so I could know it was Jesus. But before I got to see if there was a foot showing, this whole robe, this whole body turned into a huge sleeve with a hand extended. And the word the Lord gave this morning. So we're just praying, let your hand be ready to help me. His hand is extended to us. And I guess that's all I can say. I could give you more information, but we'll listen to the rest of the sermon. And God be with you. It's going to be better than this.
I love that, but it was the extended hand. And actually, she shared a scripture, too, that I never had read. It's from Habakkuk, and it's Habakkuk 3, and it's verse 4, and it says, "His radiance is like the sunlight. He has rays flashing from his hand, and the hiding of his might is there." So today, I felt like God is just building our faith. You know, I feel like one of my prayers for this church is that the level of faith will continue to rise. And so we're going to look at his mighty hand of healing, his mighty hand of provision, and his mighty hand of deliverance. So, okay, so I've got a quote here this morning from Jack Hayford. He's a pastor. And this is what he says. He says, "One of the most basic truths of Scripture is that God reaches to us or extends his hands, offering us his life to transform all aspects of our life." The Hebrew word rapha, it's R-A-P-H-A, rapha means to cure, to repair, to mend, and restore to health. And it speaks about physical healing, but also it's in relationship to the healing of broken hearts and broken souls. So in the scripture itself, God has called him Jehovah Rapha, which means our healer. That's one of God's own revelations of himself, is he is a healer. And so we're going to look in today, we're going to look into the New Testament. I heard this years ago, and I love this. They said, if you need to fall in love with Jesus all over again, read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because Jesus' life and who he was and the things that he did are so amazing. So we're going to look at Mark 1 through 40, 40 through 44. And Logan, can you put that one up? Yes. "A man with leprosy came to Jesus, imploring him and kneeling down and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' So moved with compassion, Jesus reached out with his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' And immediately the leprosy just left him, and he was cleansed. And he sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses has commanded as a testimony to them.'" So a couple things I just want to draw out from that passage this morning is, number one, it's about leprosy. You know, leprosy was the disease that shunned and banished people. It set them obviously apart because it's contagious. But they were considered not only untouchable, but they were also considered that they were cursed from God. Can you imagine here you're living your life and you end up with leprosy? And so the Pharisees and the religious people and really all the Jews felt like if you got leprosy that you had been cursed from God. What a horrible thing to live under. And if you came out into the public, people were terrified. So you were like, people backed away, like, you know, because it was very contagious. I thought about COVID and how people are like, But anyway, so it was a very serious thing. But this man, there were many lepers, but this man came to Jesus. This man pushed through what people would have thought of him because he desperately wanted to be healed. It says that he implored him. It means beseeched. He begged him, like he was determined. And with healing, you have to be determined. You have to be determined. And you have to be willing to push through. And then it says he knelt down. Like this man was so humble. He knelt down and he said to Jesus, if you're willing, if you're just willing, I recognize you have the power to heal me. If you're just willing, will you do that? And of course, Jesus, I love this. It says he was moved with compassion. Literally, this man who came out stirred up the compassion that Jesus had. And so he came, and it says Jesus reached out his hand, or another version says he extended his hand, and he said, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately, just the leprosy left him. And I want to say to you this morning, this whole message came out of me reading that verse, and as soon as I saw that phrase, he's extended his hand, I just felt like God stirred me up. And God wants you to know, if you're sitting here, if you're online, that God's hand is extended to you. It's not somebody else's hand. It's so easy to believe for other people, but God wants you to know that his hand is extended to you. And sometimes that means we have to cry out. We have to want to be healed bad enough that we are willing to come, willing to humble ourselves, but to receive what God has. And I have a clip for you, and this is from The Chosen. Thank you. And if you haven't seen this series, The Chosen, you need to buy it. But it's such a good reminder of the heart of our God. So would you show that?
Not to spoil this beautiful day or anything, huh? Come on.
He's a leper. Stay back.
Cover your mouth. Don't breathe his air.
Don't come any closer.
It's okay, John. It's okay.
Rabbi, you can't let his disease. You can't.
Please. Please don't turn away from me.
I won't.
Lord, if you are willing, if you can make me clean, only if you want to, I submit to you. My sister, she was a servant at the wedding. She told me what you can do. I know you can heal me if you are willing.
Cleansed.
I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. What can I ever do?
Actually, Logan, can you cut it? Thank you. I cry every time I see that. Jesus touches the untouchable. There's nothing that his hand can't extend into your life and heal and touch. And his heart to do it is what I really, that's why I showed it this morning. It's incredible. Okay, so we're going to go on. In Mark 3, 1 through 6 is the healing of the man with the withered hand. And really, God wants you to know. So sometimes people's wounds are on the inside. They're not on the outside. You're marked on the inside. Like you look fine on the outside, but on the inside, you're marked by lots of pain and things. And really, that's what I really am going to take away and what I'm hoping you're going to take away from this next verse. So in Mark 3, 1 through 6, it says, he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there whose hand was withered. And I just want to stop there just for a second. I've only known two people ever in my life that I've seen that had a withered hand. And obviously the hand is smaller. And it was actually somebody that was related to me, my ex. It's my brother's ex-wife's sister. And one of the things I was just really struck about is she always wore sleeves that were very, very long. And it's because she didn't want anybody to see her hand. And I guess I want to say, even before I go on with that, that, yeah, that the shame, the humiliation, the things in our lives that we want to hide from, that's how I saw this. And, you know, I'm reading into this, obviously, since I'm the one preaching on this. So, but anyway, and it says, and they were watching him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, get up and come forward. And he said to them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do harm, to save a life or to kill? But they kept silent. So after looking around them with anger, grieved at the hardness of their heart, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. And the Pharisees went out and immediately began conspiring with the Herodians against him as to how they might put him to death. So, a couple things I want to say about that is whether your hand is withered, if you've ever had any kind of disfigurement, whether you've had a speech impediment, a stutter, a lisp, whether you've had a birthmark, whether you're too short, whether you're too tall, whether you're too fat, whether you're too thin, whatever it is, the enemy, even from the time you're very young, uses those things to marginalize you, to separate you, to isolate you, because that's where God wants you. It's not where God wants you, it's where the devil wants you. And he just begins to feed in those lies. Now remember, the man with the withered hand had been born that way, and so they automatically thought either he sinned or his parents sinned. How would you like to be born under that? You already have an umbrella that you're already marked. You already have that stamp. You're different. There's something wrong with you. There's something that you've done, because that's how they used to look at it in Bible days. And anyway, and so the interesting thing is Jesus healed many different ways. With the leper, he reached in and touched him. And I often think it's because I wondered how long it had been since anybody had ever touched him. Can you imagine never getting hugged? Of course, we can imagine that because of COVID, can't we? You know, you can't hug people, can't touch people. But so that's the way, you know, that he did it there. But with this man, he said, get up and come forward. And I thought about that. I thought, why would Jesus have said that? And maybe, and I think this is why, it's because when you have anything that you feel like makes you different, the last thing that you want to do is get up in front of people. Like, I'm telling you guys, it's a miracle that I can preach. Me, who used to stutter, I was terrified of having to get up in front of people. But I think of all kinds of people, you kind of hang back. You want to sit in that back row, like you want to not be in the limelight. And you see, Jesus was interested in healing more than just this guy's hand. He wanted to get rid of this guy's baggage. And part of doing that was making him face his greatest fears. May I say this morning? Morning, that God does not want us to run away from things. He wants us to face things with Him and go through it and get to the healing on the other side. And honestly, I really felt like this was a prophetic word for somebody, whether you're here or online, that God says, come out of your fear. Quit hiding. Come out, come out, come out. And so He said, get up and come forward. Thank God the man did. Thank God he came forward. And then it goes on to say, he said, stretch out your hand. A big part of our own healing, and I can say that personally for my own healing, is we participate with God's healing. We all want God just to take the wand and to say, you know, be healed. And sometimes He does that. Sometimes people are just miraculously touched, and hallelujah for that, and God does that. But often we participate with God. We have to say yes. We sang that song, Yes, I Will. Just think if the guy hadn't stretched out his hand. Just think if he said, I'm not going to do that. He would have left the way that he came. So Jesus says, stretch out your hand and be healed. And of course, it was totally restored. And so in my hearing, I came away with so many different things from that story, is that we get to cooperate. We get to be a part. We're co-workers with him. And God wants you to know that he wants to bring healing to those places in your life. And part of that is you're saying yes to Jesus. And this is a side note. This is just a side note. But for the Pharisees that watched him, they didn't care about the guy at all. They didn't care about him at all. And they only wanted to accuse. And I want to say this morning that there are healing ministries. There are healing people that move in that gift, and there are many naysayers and many watchdogs that watch those kind of things, and they're not interested in the people who have been touched. They're only interested in bringing accusations against those ministers, and I want to say, don't do that. Don't. Okay, so we're going to go on. So the next hand, so first it's Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Then it's God's hand is the hand of provision, which is Jehovah Jireh. And last week, Pastor Jack talked about out of Exodus, the people who had come through the Red Sea, and they weren't in the wilderness days, and they already started to complain. So I'm going to read from just Numbers 11. This is 5 and 6. And it says, we remember, it's funny the things you choose to remember. We remember the fish which we used to eat for free in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our appetite is gone. There's nothing at all to look at except this manna. Ho-hum, only bread from heaven's bakery. Ho-hum, ho-hum, you know. But they were forgetting 400 years of slavery. I don't know how many generations that would be, but a lot of generations of people, and they completely forgot that. All they could think about was they had to eat meat. So in Numbers 11, 10 through 15, it says, and I'm only going to read parts of this. So actually, Logan, can you put that up? I have a lot of scripture, so you're doing a great job, Logan. Now, Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, each one of them at the entrance of his tent. And the anger of the Lord became very hot, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, why have you been so hard on your servant, and why have I not found favor in your sight that you have put the burden of these people on me? Wow. The cry of every leader. But anyway, so was it I who conceived these people? And then I'm going to drop down to 13, and it says, where am I to get meat to give to all these people? For they weep before me, saying, give us meat so that we may eat. Now, that's a problem. You're in the wilderness. You're in the desert. It's just sand. That's all sand. So it was a genuine question that Moses had. Where could I possibly get this food to provide for these people? And so this was God's response to just to Moses, and I love that. He says in Numbers 11, 18 through 23, he says, and you shall say to the people, consecrate yourself for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, oh, that somebody would give us meat to eat, for we were well off in Egypt. And therefore, the Lord will give you meat, and you indeed shall eat meat. You're going to get your wish. You shall eat not just one day, not just 2 days, or 5 days, or 10 days, or 20 days, but you're going to eat that meat for a whole month until it comes out your nose and makes you nauseated. Because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wept before him, saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? You know, God was really smart when he had that sea part and the sea came back. If he hadn't done that, those same people would have run back to Egypt for meat. Like, it's so ridiculous. But anyway, but Moses. Now, I want you to think about Moses just for a minute. Moses had a tremendous relationship with God. In fact, it says of him that he was the most humble man that had ever lived. It says he could talk to God face to face. Now, we know that's not face to face as we think of face to face, because it says no man can look at God and live. But you know, he would come down in this cloud. So literally, it would be like me talking to my husband, but there was some kind of cloud so that I couldn't see his face, but we could still talk face to face. Like, and he had seen God open the Red Sea. He had seen the miracles of the plagues. Like, this was a guy that had seen God do so much. But this is what Moses said. He says, and this is 21, he says, the people among whom I am included are 600,000 just on foot. Those aren't the wagons. Those are just the people that are walking. Yet you have said, I will give them meat so that they may eat for a whole month. Are flocks and herds to be slaughtered for them so that it will be sufficient for them? Or are all the fish in the sea to be caught for them so that that will be sufficient for them? So even Moses had unbelief in his own heart. No matter how far you've walked with God, there's always, always places of faith that God wants to stretch us. We all need our faith stretched, and sometimes we face things. And you know, it would be hard. It would be hard to believe when you can't see something like that. It would be hard to believe, and even Moses. But I love God's response. And actually, this is out of the Amplified, so it's not up there, Logan, but I just want to read this. It says, it's in Numbers 11:23, and it says, the Lord said to Moses, is the Lord's hand, is his ability or power limited, or is it short or inadequate? You shall see now whether my word will come to pass for you or no. It goes back, is my hand too short in your life, in your situations that God can't provide, that he can't move? And I love this. So in Numbers 11:31, it says, now a wind burst forth from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea and dropped them beside the camp about a day's journey on this side and a day's journey on the other side all around the camp, and about 2 cubits deep on the surface of the ground. Now, I'm not sure. In fact, does anybody know how much 2 cubits are? Like, I mean, how deep those quail must have been? Like, to be able to eat them for an entire month, that would be pretty deep. But God is true to his own word, absolutely. And I really drew out of this that sometimes, even when we're praying, we pray the problem to God. Do you think God knows the problem? I think so. God wants to help us learn to pray the solution and to pray his promises. I loved Phyllis's word about our declarations, declaring the word of God. And the reality of it is we're all going to face things where it seems like mountains. It seems like, God, how could you ever do that? And what should our stance be? Maybe our stance should be like the man, because we're going to go on and read this, is the man that said, God, help my unbelief. Lord, forgive me for my unbelief and help my unbelief and help me to believe you, because you are a great, great God. Because he is a great God. Is that right? Amen. Okay. So my last one here, my last point. And if you're taking notes, you're really going to take some notes on this, because I've got some steps for you. But it's God's hand is first a healing hand, it's a providing hand, but the last one, it's a delivering hand. And that is called Jehovah Mephalti. I have never heard that. In fact, my husband told me this morning he's never heard that. But Jehovah Mephalti, it's Mephalti. It means the God who delivers. Do you know that there are things in your life that only God can deliver you from? But you can position yourself to deliverance and healing. But there's some things only God can do. It says in John 8:36, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. It says in Galatians, I love that, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Do you know that God lives in perfect freedom, and he's wanting to bring us into freedom? Freedom. We sang about freedom this morning. We declared freedom because that's what Jesus does. Only Jesus can do that. And I'm going to read from Mark 9. And it's 17 through 29. And this is an interesting story. This is about the young boy that was delivered from a demonic spirit. May I say to you this morning that Jesus, a third of his ministry when he was alive, was delivering people from things in their lives. And I'm going to call these attachments or hindrances this morning, because sometimes you read this and you think, well, I don't have a demonic spirit. I'm not affected. Well, if a third of his ministry was given to that, and it says in the word that when he sent his disciples out, he gave them power and authority to cast things out, which means things can affect us. They can affect us a lot. Patterns that we've inherited even from our families before, they can attach themselves to us. And I never understood this. And I felt like this was a little revelation for me, but a couple weeks ago, Jack talked about the parable of the good seed and the sower, but it talks about the good ground, and it talks about those that produce 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And I've often thought, why is it we're not all producing 100-fold? Why is that? And I feel like part of it is because of attachments in our lives that hinder us in our own ministries. There are things that weigh us down, bog us down. They just become stumbling blocks. And God is here to remove those and to set us free. Okay, so amen. And you are free to say amen. Okay, so I'm going to read this. Okay, so Mark 9, 17 through 29. And one person from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son." And I love this. Oh, parents that have kids that they're praying for. "I brought you my son because he is a spirit that makes him unable to speak. And whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground. He foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes stiff. And I told your disciples," I love this anyway, "I told your disciples," interesting that he didn't say I asked, "I told them, I told your disciples so that they would cast it out, but they could not do it. And he answered them and said, oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me." I just want to comment on that. I think, you know, sometimes because there's no tone in the Bible, we don't know, but I think that was just a sorrowful tone. It's like, even with his own disciples, it's like, how long have I been with you that you've seen my miracles? You haven't gotten, because one of the things when we read the Bible, is that we see Jesus doing all that, and we don't realize that part of the call on our life as disciples is he wants to fill us so that we are a part of his ministry of casting things out, healing the sick, and raising the dead. And so it's easy to believe Jesus can do that. It gets a lot harder to believe the Holy Spirit in us can do those kind of things. But that's what it says. That's what the word says. So anyway, I think it just made him sad. So they brought the boy to him, and when he saw him, the spirit immediately threw him into convulsions, falling to the ground, and he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. He asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. It has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." I love that. Well, if you can, maybe I can hope. But Jesus said, if you can, if I can do something, all things are possible to those that believe. Okay, I think we're all going to say that together. All things are possible to the one who believes. Amen. Hallelujah. That is encouraging. Yeah.
Amen.
But immediately the boy's father cried out and said, and I love this, the great posture. This is exactly the right posture. Help me. I do believe, but help my unbelief. He acknowledged, I need more faith. I don't even have faith for this, but God, deposit your faith to believe for these things. And anyway, so when Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and don't enter him again." And after crying out, throwing him into a terrible convulsion, it came out, and the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, raised him up, and he got him up. And when he came to the house, his disciples began asking him privately, "Why is it that we could not cast that out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot come out by anything except for prayer." So I'm going to give you 9 things. How much time do I have? Okay. 9 things that will just help position you for healing and deliverance. And these came, I want to give Derek Prince, was a teacher in the body of Christ during the 60s, 70s, and 80s, had a tremendous ministry and really had a ministry of deliverance, which is quite unusual, really. But he has lots of books. He's got teachings. You can go online and listen to him. But some of these are his. Some of these I've added. But the number one hindrance to healing and deliverance is our own pride. Pride is an enemy, an enemy, an enemy. And the Bible says God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And he says we need to humble ourselves under his mighty hand. I'm telling you, foundational for growing is that you have to humble yourself. The next thing is you got to be honest and don't deny your problems. God is never a denier. He makes us face our stuff with him, go through it, and get healed. So don't deny your issues. Confess your faith in Christ. And and we're going to all just say this together. Logan, if you could pull up Joel, and we're going to say this together. And we're only going to say just the first part. Okay, are you ready? And it will come about that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered. Okay. Will be delivered. Will be delivered. If we call on his name, God is going to deliver us and bring us into freedom. Okay, the next thing is to confess any known sin in your life. And actually, he adds in that of your ancestors, but that's a whole other thing. We're not going to go down that road. But anyway, confess your sin. Then repent. The next step is to repent, which is to accept personal responsibility for your own sin. Turn towards the light of Jesus. And this goes, this is a part of it. Make restitution and reconciliation with those that you have hurt. It's just foundational. Make restitution, if you can. If you can make restitution and just reconciliation, if possible, that's what you need to do. The next one is you need to forgive. Unforgiveness is a ginormous block. And the Bible clearly says in Matthew, if you forgive other people for their offenses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Some people have wounded us so deeply that we need to ask God, and you need to even say to him, I'm not even willing to forgive. Would you make me willing? I know I'm not willing. Please make me willing. I want to get by this. The next thing is give thanks to God for who he is and what he's done. And Pastor Jack preached on gratitude. So important in our life to give thanks. Share what God has done. That's the next thing. Share what God has done in your life. Give testimony. If you look in the New Testament, I think about the guy that was delivered from all those demons, and it said literally he went out into the whole region and shared his testimony, and it says Jesus came back there later. I don't know how many years later, and literally there were thousands of people that had given their lives to Christ, so to speak, because of this man's testimony. There's power in your testimony. So speak that testimony. And the last thing is you need to be filled daily with the Holy Spirit. Really important to ask God every day, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I love this. I'm going to end on this. But it says the motto for Elam Bible Institute years ago, and I don't know if this is still true, but it says it was healed in heart, formed in service. So it was really like what I would say are the two train tracks that are running parallel together. In other words, we want to give ourselves to being healed, but you don't want to just focus totally on that 100%. Like, you know what I'm saying? You could spend years and years. You could spend 20, 30 years just recognizing. So you're going to let God and you're going to go with God in the healing, but also there's the service. You have been called into the body of Christ because God has a purpose for you and he has a calling for you, and God wants us to get on with that. And so it says in Galatians 5, 13 and 14, and we need to remember this about freedom. Freedom was given to us when Jesus died on that cross. In fact, would you put that hand up, Logan, please? Actually, and you can take that down, even though I'm going to read that. The source of our freedom lies in Jesus' death and resurrection. The power of God lies in those hands that were crucified for us, and then he was raised from the dead. The power of God raised him to bring us out of the domain of darkness. It says in Colossians, he's going to take us from darkness into light. There's only two kingdoms. You're either in one kingdom or you're in the other. You're either in the kingdom of darkness or you're in the kingdom of God's beloved Son. There's no three choices or five choices. You're either in one or the other. And that's what God did for us. And we're going to be celebrating that just with Easter coming. But in Galatians, it says, for you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. And I can say to that personally, all of you this morning, you were called to freedom, only don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another in love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. God has brought us into freedom so that not that we feed ourselves, but so that we reach out and love other people and are a part of his mission. And one of the great things my son Joe has said to me many times, it's not even about my personal journey, my personal story, though God has done a lot in my life. He's brought me into his story. Do you know that? You're brought into God's story. And part of God's story is reaching the world for Christ. It's reaching Leroy for Christ. It's reaching Batavia for Christ. It's reaching to the ends of the world for Jesus Christ. That's why we are going to YWAM. That's why we're participating in the last frontier of meeting or going to bring the gospel to just to Muslims, because they're like the last people group, and I think it's just been out of fear. Like, it's scary. It's a scary thought, but God loves them, and he wants to save them. And it says there'll be people from every tribe and every tongue. So anyway, okay, so we're going to respond. We're going to respond to this word. Jack, why don't you, I don't know if you have something you want to say, but we're going to respond to this word this morning because I don't want you to just hear, but we want to respond. And I just want to say online, too, that if you need healing, if you need some kind of physical healing and you want to have us believe with you for that, I want you to stand up this morning.
I want to read, before you do that, well, just have a seat for a second. Then I'm going to do that because this goes, Sandy didn't know I was going to share this. But as I was praying with her this morning before coming to the church, I thought of this passage in the book of Acts where Paul fled one place where he was being persecuted and came to Derbe and Lystra. And it says, in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. And this man heard Paul speaking, and Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." So she didn't know I was going to say this. I didn't know she was going to do that. But if you've been sitting there listening to these words of faith stirring up, and whether you need a miracle in provision, you need a miracle in healing, you need a miracle of deliverance from some oppression, something that's been weighing on you, preventing you from becoming all God wants you to be, and the faith is rising up today to receive. We're like, oh, gee, we used to have altar ministry where we laid hands on you. Hey, Paul didn't lay hands on that guy. He just said, stand up. So when Sandy says, stand up, if you've got faith to believe, stand up now. Go ahead and stand up. You have the faith. Jesus said, your faith makes you well. So did you have something else you want to add to that? All right. Okay. So we're just going to believe with you. We're putting our faith with you. Our faith, our love is for you. Our faith is in him. His hand is not too short to save. His hand is not too short to provide. His hand is not too short to set you free. Lord, we thank you for those hands of yours that you allowed to be nailed to a cross. And Lord, you took our sickness, you bore our infirmities, you carried our shame, you carried our lack, you became poor, Lord, that we might experience all the riches of heaven. Lord, you have certainly, you who did not spare your own son, will not withhold all that we need. So, Lord, we stand in faith, believing you for our miracles, for today, for tomorrow. You said not to worry about tomorrow, for there's enough evil in this day. So we're not worrying about tomorrow, Lord. We're putting our faith in you for today and tomorrow, and we're trusting you. We believe your word, Lord, that you have already gone before us. You have quail by the cubit full, and you have all that we need, Lord. Thank you, God, for your provision. In Jesus' name, thank you. Go ahead and thank him. If you're online, you're here in the house, give him thanks. Thank him. Thank him. Amen. God bless you.